Dev is on trial in Franklin for assault, and he claims self-defense. He calls a neighbor, who testifies that Dev is known around the neighborhood as a peaceful, gentle man. The prosecutor objects. Character evidence, he says, offered to show Dev acted in character. Is the neighbor allowed to say it? Yes. And Dev has just made the most dangerous move in this entire topic. Because the moment he opens that door, the prosecution walks through it. This episode is about the wall the law builds against judging people for who they are instead of what they did, and about the handful of doors cut into it. Five stops. First, the three jobs character evidence can do, because sorting the purpose decides everything. Second, the propensity ban and its criminal exceptions under Rule 404A. Third, other crimes and acts under Rule 404B, the most heavily tested corner here. Fourth, the permitted methods of proof under Rule 405. And fifth, habit, which is character's opposite. Before you touch a single rule, ask why the character evidence is being offered. Purpose decides everything, because character shows up in three distinct jobs, and each has its own rules. Job 1. Circumstantial proof of conduct. She is dishonest, so she probably lied here. That is the propensity use, and it is the forbidden path. Job 2. Character as an essential element, sometimes called character in issue. The substantive law makes someone's character an actual fact the case turns on. A defamation defendant proving the plaintiff really is what he was called. There, character is not a shortcut to conduct. It is the very thing being litigated, so it comes in freely. Job 3. Credibility. Attacking or supporting a witness's truthfulness. That job belongs to Rules 607, 608, and 609, and to the impeachment topic. Keep it in a separate mental box. Now the default, and it is strict. Rule 404A1 says evidence of a person's character or trait is not admissible to prove that, on a particular occasion, the person acted in accordance with it. Civil parties, criminal defendants, alleged victims, everyone. The reason is not that character evidence is irrelevant. A violent person really is a little more likely to have thrown the first punch. The worry is that it is too tempting. Juries overvalue it, and it invites a verdict based on a life story rather than the event on trial. So, the law shuts the door, then cuts a few narrow exceptions, almost all of them criminal. And the key idea is, who may go first? The prosecution can never lead with the defendant's bad character to prove guilt. Only the defendant may open the door, by offering a pertinent, good character trait. Pertinent, meaning relevant to the crime charged. Test that word. A defendant on trial for tax fraud calls a partner to say she is gentle and non-violent. Pertinent? No. Peacefulness has nothing to do with fraud. Honesty would. This is the mercy rule, and it takes us back to Dev. He opened with peacefulness, so the prosecution may now rebut with evidence that Dev is reputed to be a hothead. Now, suppose Dev also offers proof that the alleged victim, Ray, has a violent streak to support self-defense. That is allowed under Rule 404A2, but it boomerangs. The prosecution may now rebut Ray's bad character, and crucially, offer evidence that Dev himself has that very same violent trait. Attack the victim's character, and you open your own matching trait to attack. One special trigger is worth memorizing. Normally, the prosecution reaches the victim's character only after the defendant attacks it. But in a homicide case, the prosecution may offer the victim's peaceful character as soon as the defendant offers any evidence that the victim was the first aggressor. Even evidence that is not about character at all. So a murder defendant who testifies the victim came at her with a knife has sprung that trigger, though she never said a word about his character. Change one fact, make it simple assault rather than homicide, and the trigger does not apply. The prosecution has to wait. Civil cases are simpler and stricter. Those exceptions are for criminal cases only. In an ordinary civil suit, neither side may use character as circumstantial proof of conduct. A defendant sued for negligent driving cannot prove he is a careful person, and the plaintiff cannot prove he is reckless. On to Rule 404B, the most heavily tested corner of this topic. It deals with a person's other crimes, wrongs, or acts. Conduct other than the charged offense. The propensity ban applies with full force here. The prosecution cannot prove the defendant robbed a bank before to argue he is the type who robs banks, but the same act may be admissible for a different, non-propensity purpose. The traditional shorthand is mimic, motive, intent, mistake, meaning the absence of it, identity, and common plan or scheme. The rule's full list runs longer, adding opportunity, preparation, and knowledge. The dividing line is the chain of reasoning. If the act is relevant only through bad character, therefore guilty, it is out. If it proves a specific fact like intent or identity without passing through character, it can come in. Nia is charged with selling counterfeit watches, and her defense is that she truly believed they were authentic. The prosecution offers evidence that twice before, she bought the same brand from a street vendor for $5 apiece. Offered to prove she is a dishonest person, that is barred propensity. Offered to prove she knew the watches were fake, it comes in under Rule 404B, knowledge and absence of mistake. Her claim of innocent belief is simply not credible. Same facts, different purpose, opposite result. Identity is the purpose people abuse most. Mere similarity is not enough. The other crime must share a signature so distinctive it operates like a fingerprint. Both were robberies is not a signature. 4. Mechanics matter. First, the standard of proof for the other act is low. The judge does not find that it happened. The evidence comes in if a reasonable jury could find, by a preponderance, that the defendant did it. Second, it does not matter whether the defendant was charged, convicted, or even acquitted. An acquittal does not bar its use here. Third, the evidence must still survive Rule 403. The judge may exclude it where the danger of unfair prejudice substantially outweighs its probative value, and courts police this closely because the temptation is so strong. Fourth, in a criminal case, the prosecution must give the defense advance written notice stating the permitted purpose. That duty was strengthened in the 2020 amendment, so it is now automatic rather than triggered by a defense request. And one more. Rule 404B reaches any other act, not just crimes. Lawful acts, even admirable ones, count. The label is other acts, not other crimes. When character evidence is admissible, Rule 405 controls how you may prove it, and it rations the methods carefully. Three possible methods: reputation, what the community thinks, opinion, what the witness personally thinks, and specific instances of conduct. They are not all available all the time. The more powerful and prejudicial the method, the narrower its use. Reputation and opinion are the everyday tools. Specific acts are reserved for two situations only. Situation one is cross-examination. Situation two is where character is an essential element. Everywhere else, specific acts on direct are out. So a defendant on trial for theft may not have his character witness describe the time he returned a lost wallet stuffed with cash. Reputation and opinion only. Now the examiner's favorite, and it takes us back to Dev's neighbor. When a defendant calls a good character witness, the prosecution may probe that witness on cross with relevant specific instances of the defendant's conduct. Did you know Dev was fired for stealing? To an opinion witness. Have you heard he was arrested for a bar fight? To a reputation witness. The purpose is not to prove the bad act happened. It is to test whether the witness's glowing view is well-founded. Two guardrails. The cross-examiner must have a good faith basis for believing the incident occurred, and the examiner is stuck with the answer. No extrinsic evidence may come in to prove the collateral act. So the prosecution may ask about the arrest. It may not haul in the arrest records to prove it. Ask the question, take the answer, move on. Rule 405B unlocks specific acts on direct, the strongest and most concrete proof, but only where character is genuinely an essential element. That is rare. Defamation, where the question is whether the plaintiff really is the thief he was called. Negligent hiring or entrustment. The entrapment defense, where predisposition is the issue. And child custody fitness. Habit looks like character's cousin, but is treated as its opposite. Character is a general disposition. Careful, honest, violent, the law distrusts it. Habit is a specific, regular, near-automatic response to a specific, repeated situation. Always checks the mirror before merging. Because a true habit is that consistent and reflexive, it is a reliable predictor of conduct, so Rule 406 lets it in freely. It needs no corroboration and no eyewitness. The same goes for an organization's routine practice, its standard operating procedure. Here is the tell. A plaintiff says a driver ran a stop sign and offers that he is a reckless man. Barred character. The driver answers that for the past 9 years, on his daily commute, he has come to a complete stop and looked both ways at that exact intersection. Habit or character? Habit. Specific, regular, near automatic. Strip away the specificity and the regularity, and it collapses back into inadmissible character. Vague, occasional carelessness is not a habit. Two related rule sets round out the topic, and they cut opposite ways. Rule 412, the rape shield rule, protects the alleged victim. Evidence of the victim's other sexual behavior or sexual predisposition is generally inadmissible, subject only to narrow exceptions. Rules 413 through 415 carve a genuine hole in the propensity ban. This covers criminal cases for sexual assault or child molestation and civil cases based on such conduct. There, evidence that the defendant committed other similar sexual offenses is admissible on any matter to which it is relevant, including propensity itself. These are the rare rules where he did it before, so he likely did it again, is permitted. The evidence still runs the Rule 403 gauntlet. A word on authorities, because this episode named no cases, and that was deliberate. NextGen drops you into the analysis, not a definitions quiz. Is this evidence admissible, and for what purpose? Nobody is going to ask you for a case name, but this topic is starred, which means you get no rule text on the exam. So, recall three cold. Rule 404, which bans propensity and then names who may open the door. Rule 405, which rations the three methods of proof. And Rule 406, which lets habit in freely because it is the opposite of character. Now the traps the examiners set. 1. Letting the prosecution open with the defendant's bad character. Only the defendant opens that door. 2. Forgetting the boomerang. Attacking the victim's character lets the prosecution mirror the same trait back onto the defendant. 3. Applying the homicide first aggressor trigger to a non-homicide case, or forgetting it, can be sprung by evidence that has nothing to do with character. 4. Using specific acts on direct to prove circumstantial character, reputation and opinion only, unless character is an essential element. 5. Trying to prove up a cross-examination specific act with extrinsic evidence. You are stuck with the answer. 6. Confusing habit, which is specific, regular, and reflexive, with character, which is a general disposition. 7. Treating an acquittal as a bar to other acts' evidence. It is not. And 8. Reaching for the character rules on a pure credibility question that really belongs to impeachment. Different box, different rules. Time for the quick check. And this one comes straight from the Bargo question bank. Ford is charged with robbing a downtown bank. The robber wore ordinary street clothes and passed the teller a handwritten demand note. To prove Ford was the robber, the prosecution offers evidence that Ford committed a bank robbery 2 years earlier. In that one, Ford likewise wore street clothes and handed over a demand note. Methods shared by a great many bank robberies. Should the court admit the prior robbery to prove identity? Option 1. Yes, because both crimes were bank robberies committed in a closely similar manner. Option 2. No, because the robberies share no distinctive, signature-like method of operation. Option 3. No, because the prior robbery must be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. Pause here if you want a moment. The answer is option 2. To prove identity, the other crime must share a method of operation so distinctive it works like a signature. Mere similarity in kind is not enough. Street clothes and a demand note describe countless bank robberies. This is really propensity dressed up as identity. Option 1 treats ordinary similarity as sufficient, the exact error the signature requirement guards against. Option 3 misstates the standard of proof. The other act need only be provable by a preponderance, such that a reasonable jury could find it happened. Never beyond a reasonable doubt. There are 30-plus more questions on this topic alone, each with every option explained like that. 5 things to take away. 1. Name the purpose before you name the rule. Propensity, essential element, credibility, other acts, or habit. Purpose picks the rule. 2. In a criminal case, only the defendant opens the propensity door, and opening it lets the prosecution rebut with the matching bad trait. 3. Attacking the victim's character boomerangs that same trait back onto the defendant, and in a homicide case, any first aggressor evidence, character or not, opens the victim's peacefulness. 4. Other acts come in only through a real non-propensity chain, and they still have to survive Rule 403. 5. Reputation and opinion are the everyday methods. Specific acts appear on cross of a character witness, where you are stuck with the answer, or on direct, only where character is an essential element. And habit sits in its own lane. Specific, regular, near automatic. Which brings us back to Dev, who called one neighbor to say he was a peaceful man. That neighbor now has to answer questions about a bar fight. The door only opens one way. Next time, lay and expert opinion. Practice this topic with more than 2,900 exam-style questions, free to start at nextgenbargo.com. This episode is for education and exam preparation only. Not legal advice, and we are not affiliated with or endorsed by the NCBE or any bar examining authority.